because they can't never make a right decision in free grace and earn rewards. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you all know this. I mean, I'm sure one of you do. You know this. And when God saved you, God wants to give you something. He wants you to have all His blessings and all His joy and all His peace. And then when you die and go to heaven, you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, God wants you to earn something. But you earn rewards. Rewards are not grace. Amen? All right. So, I've said this, and I've said, you know, there are going to be very few people, at least from America, in the last decade is going to have much of a millennial inheritance. The Bible says if we suffer with Him, we shall what? Reign with Him. Or that's conditioned. You see? You see, that inheritance is conditioned. Now, do you understand? Does anybody don't understand that? God saves you for nothing. That's grace. You better be glad you don't have to earn salvation. We all go to hell. Amen? God saves us by His pure grace. Salvation starts with God and ends with God. Alright? But rewards are earned. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says, "For God shall try every man's work what sort it is." God will try every man's what? Works, not the man.
Amen.
Right? If you say God will never try you for sin.
Amen.
Amen? You know why? Because you've already been tried, and you've already been found guilty, and you've been sentenced. And Jesus paid your sentence.
Amen.
Okay? So that's settled. But the life you live after you got saved, like I mentioned here Sunday, if you was here Sunday morning, I mentioned this, there's going to come a day when you're going to have to settle up with God.
Amen?
Amen? And I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you my honest conviction. I dread it. I don't look forward to that day at all because I know me.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, I ain't no prize. And I've tried to follow God, but I mean, what worries me just the things that I've done and haven't done that I don't know about, you know, let alone the things that I do know. Amen?
Amen.
All right. But it's going to happen. Amen? Then after that, God's going to clear it all up, you know. But it's going to be a sad day for a lot of saved people in the general city of Christ. I promise you that. Also, the Bible says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned." Well, that's the right thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have sinned. But you also remember the time when Judas asked Tarrant to come back and said, "I've sinned, I betrayed the innocent blood." Went out and hung himself, went to his own place. You see? He still didn't get right. Moses told Pharaoh, "I've sinned," but he didn't change, and God had to go in there and kill him. Right?
Yeah.
Now, let me show you something here. Just to confess sin is not enough. You listen? That's what he just did.
Right.
There has to be a sorrow, and it has to be a personal sorrow. You see that? Now, a lot of people, you know, they're sorry. Some people are sorry to get caught, and some sorry it didn't come out as good as they thought it did, but that's not what I'm talking about. A personal sorrow. And the sorrow is not what you've done. You listening? But the sorrow has got to be because of what you are. And we'll give you an illustration. You remember over in Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son? Come here, Daddy, one day. "Daddy, I'm 18 now. Government said I can leave home and be on my own. All what I got coming, I'm gone." Okay? So Daddy gave him everything he had, and he took off, went out in the world, and got drunk, and lived like hell, and lived like the devil, and he didn't have no friends. After he spent all his money, he had no friends. He wound up in the hog pen. Okay? You remember that story? You know what he said? He said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Amen.
Now see, he had the right kind of sorrow. He didn't say, look, I'm sorry I come in there and took the money, and I'm sorry I went out here and got drunk, and I'm sorry I raised hell, just made a big mess of things. See? He didn't say that. He said, look, he condemned himself. You see? That's the kind of sorrow that gets you right with God. Amen? Now, Saul said here, he said, I have sinned. See? For I transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and by words, and listen to this, now it's an alibi about it, see? You see here? I sinned, right? I confess, okay? I transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and by words, but here's why I did it. Like, this makes it all right, see? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. See? He said, now I did it, but I did it because I feared the people. And he may have. I'll show you that after a while. But folks, listen, let me show you something. It don't matter. And I'm trying to give you something practical here for some people tonight. It don't matter who you fear or what you fear. You ought to fear God more.
Amen?
Amen? And your desire should be to please God before you do anybody else.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you're not going to live for God, you're not right with God, you're never going to mount nothing for God. You listen? And that's what we need to do. We need some people that will just, no matter what, will listen to God first. Amen? I told here not too long ago, there was a young man called me, a young preacher. I'm sending out a lot of tapes now. A lot of these young preachers getting my tapes. As a matter of fact, five or six of them. And this young man told me, he said, what would you do? And I told him what I would do. I said, I'm not telling you what to do. I said, I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was in your condition. I would leave where I am, and I told him where I would go. He said, well, I could never do that. My preacher would hang me. I said, man, if you're more afraid of your preacher than you are God, you don't mount nothing for God. I said, a preacher has got to be, or anybody, you got to be somebody that don't fear nobody but God, can't nobody control but God. Amen?
Yeah.
I figure like this, if this Bible says something, you say something different, I just take for granted you wrong.
Amen.
That's the way I look at anybody. And so this young man said, well, you pray for me. I said, well, no need to pray about that. That's clear. I mean, that's the way it is. And I'm glad to say he called me back in a few days, and first of all, I appreciate your advice. That's what I've done. I'm going to do it. I done made mine. I'm going. And he'll mount something. I told him what he ought to do, where he ought to go. I said, you got no business sitting in a church and some preacher ruling over your life. You know? And I told you folks, I mean, you know, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to get right with God and follow and do what God said, amen? Because you start to follow me, and then not only mess up, then you messed up too, see? But if you follow God, you ain't going to mess up, because God ain't going to mess you up, amen?
All right,
so the Bible says, he justified, and I said, well, I sin, I done wrong, but I did it because of this, see? Now, when you confess to God, you don't say, God, oh yeah, I know I'm wrong, I done wrong, but my reason was this. I mean, they made me do it. It was his fault. My preacher said this. Don't come to God like that. If you're going to come to God, just keep it to yourself. Just keep your mouth shut and go on your own way. Amen? Because it ain't going to mean nothing.
Amen.
See? If you can't put yourself down before God and condemn yourself before God in true repentance, just leave. Just don't do nothing. Amen? You'll be just as well off.
That's right.
I realize this day and time where man's exalted and people think there's something that wouldn't go over too big, but that's still in the Bible, so we'll just stick to that, alright? Alright, the Bible said he confessed, but he did it because he feared the people. Alright, look at verse 25. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. You see this? Now it looks like repentance. Looks like he's asking for a second chance, doesn't it? So it looks like in verse 25. All right, look at verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. You see that? You see, Samuel was a man that, you know, I told you a few weeks ago, he was a godly man. He followed God, and he felt like God, and what grieved him, what grieved God, grieved him, and so forth. And he turned to Saul, he said, look, I'm not going to be with you. I don't want you here because you rejected the word of God. God rejected you. See? Now, you notice if you get the meaning of this thing, I'll try to show y'all what all this means in the next few verses. Look at verse 26. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That word is fixed. God has already fixed it. God is finished with him, see? You see? Now you come to, you talk to somebody and say, well, now wait a minute, how long before God is finished with somebody? Okay? How far will God let you go before he's finished with you? And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just going to tell you a few things that I do know. Okay? There comes a line or a time when God draws a line. I don't know where it comes. But somewhere in a person's life, he turns God down, rejects God's word, and somewhere in that person's life, sometime God will just dump him. Amen? That could be a person or a church or whatever. Now, I'm going to just tell you something that I've noticed I've been active in churches now about 30 years. And I found out a few things. I wish I knew 30 years ago what I know now. Amen. I would probably be worse off. But I found this, folks, in the last 30 years, and I've been in a lot of churches, seen a lot of people, and met a lot of people, and I found this, that you'll find some people in some churches that love this Bible. And you'll find some that say it, but they lie. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you what I found out just for myself, and like I said, this has been a period of years. I don't know when, but I'm just thinking over. I probably like most people a lot more than they like me. Really, I'm telling you the truth. I probably, most people think that I'm just don't care. But the truth or not, I think a lot more most than they think of me. Now, tell you why I say that. When I see people living that profess to be saved, they live contrary to the Bible, and they won't live right, and they won't listen to God, I take the Bible, and I have an intention not to hurt them, but to try to destroy whatever it is that keeps them from following God. Amen. And people take that wrong. You know, I don't want to hurt nobody. You know, I have no intention of hurting nobody. But the Bible's a rough book. It'll get you sometime. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You know. But the only real friends that I've got, and I don't have many, but I got a few. You know, I got a few friends scattered, you know, pretty good wide area. But I don't have very many. You know, not very many. But I found this, folks. I found this over the years. And this is what I can always check out people by. The only people that stick by and listen to me and check are people that really love the book. Because people don't love the Bible in a period of time, they don't care for me. I found that out. You know? And I've lost a lot of so-called friends. I've met some people in various churches, and boys, they ain't Rover Street, you know, Blaine, you're fine, all this junk. No, but after a while, you know, they find something wrong. It ain't so great. You know? And the trouble is, they believe this book to a point. You see? And we was in a church one time, and they was a bunch of good people. They said they believed the Bible, wanted to know the Bible, and I went there and started teaching, preaching to them. They just felt like they were just thrilled to death. For about 2 months, then they asked me to leave. You see? Well, they love the truth. Until the truth conflicted with something they love more.
Right.
That's where most people are tonight, see?
Yes.
They're telling you they love the Bible. But the reason they say that is they don't want to take their Bible and cross nothing they'd rather have or something they won't give up.
Amen.
I tell you what. And I don't know what nobody's got, and I always say, I don't think there's wrong with having money. I mean, if you got some money, good, use it.
Amen.
Praise God for it. But don't let the money rule you, and don't let it be your God.
Amen.
The love of money is what damns you. It ain't money.
Amen.
I wish I had some. If you got some, but use it. Don't worry about it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having money. I'm not against having all the money in the world. You know? But what I'm trying to say tonight here is, people, they have a certain thing they want. If you got something in your life that you want, or that you cherish more than you do doing what God said, you know what you are? You are an adultery.
Right.
You see? That man who came to Jesus one time and said, "Good master, what shall I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Well, you heard the commandments. I shall love the father and mother and all this." He said, "Well, I've done all that." Jesus said, "Only one thing lacking. Huh? Is you go sell what you got and follow me." And the Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You know what his trouble was? He loved that money more than he loved anything else.
Amen.
See?
Yes.
And he wasn't going to give it up.
Right.
See? That's what I'm trying to show you. If you got something you wouldn't give up for God, that's something you don't need. Alright, let me get back. Verse 27. "And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and it rent." Now what happened there? Samuel went to walk away, and Saul grabbed him and he did, he tore his shirt. Okay? You see that? And then in verse 28 it says, "And Samuel said to him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." That's rough, ain't it? You see, look here, folks. Samuel's mind is so stayed on the Lord that when he gets his clothes torn, he says, "That's like God's going to rent the kingdom from you."
Right.
So it just got fast, you see. I mean, see, there's nothing on his mind but God. Everything that happens is God, see. And then notice what he said. Here's a rough statement. He says, "And have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." Huh? I mean, you talk about respect to persons. I swear to God, here tonight, I said, "Hey, folks, don't come back Sunday. I'm going to have some better church members here than you." And you wouldn't appreciate that, would you? Of course you wouldn't. I wish it was true.
Amen,
but that's about what he said. I said to try to show you this. Well, I mean, here's a king, and here's a man that's so great. And Saul said, "Well, don't worry. God's going to take everything and get somebody here better than you are." And he told the truth. You know what? I mean, you see the respect God has for a person? You know what he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about David, right? And what's the Bible say about David? He's a man after God's own heart. Why is he a man after God's own heart? Because David obeyed what God said. You see that? Well, that's the difference. All right, I'll show you some more of that maybe tonight. We'll get that far. All right, notice verse 29. "And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." It's talking about God. Now I've said this a lot of times. Let me say this again and fade it out. If God ever said something or writes something down, it won't change.
Amen.
Now, it's placed in the Bible, right back in the Genesis. God said, "Repent of the Lord, he made man upon the earth." But God never said he made man and man to stay on the earth forever. Amen. And repent of the Lord. Repent means to change. Right? And so, what it is, God, in other words, God said he had rejected Saul as being king. And Samuel is saying this, God's not going to change his mind. You rejected, man. You finished. Amen? That's what he's saying. You see, Saul's trying to make things right now. He's trying to get back and maybe get this decision changed. But Samuel said, hey, don't you worry that God ain't going to change his mind. When God said you reject his word and he rejects you as being king, boy, you're finished.
Amen.
Amen. All right, verse 30. Then he said, I've sinned. Well, he confessed again, okay? And anyway, that's what he says. Yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. You see? Now what he's saying here is this. He's saying, Samuel, if that's right, at least let me leave with you, but so the maybe you weren't afraid of the people, see, because the elders, the people there, they'll see me with you. You see? Well, don't disgrace me now, you know, in front of everybody. I mean, let it look like I'm spiritual anyway, okay? Okay? I mean, so he says, you see, here's what he's done. Saul would fit a lot of the modern day churches today. He'd be like a lot of these scholars today. He wants to identify with the right background, and he wants to stand right, and he wants to be associated with the right thing, while he just voluntarily disobeys what God said.
Right.
You see that? And that's about the way, and he knows this. He knows as long as he's there with Samuel, you know, I mean, he's going to at least look right. You know, nobody's going to think there's nothing wrong with him, you know. But what he don't know is when God finishes with a man, it's finished. And when God finishes with a man, he puts the lights out. Amen? I was listening to an article back there a while back, and I try to stay up to date with what's going on. I don't circulate very much. I don't get out in many churches and know what's going on. I try to stay up to date. And you know, this day and time, it seems like if a man identifies with some big school or some big institution, well, they think he's really a great powerhouse, you know. And how many of you know this Custer Neal? He's supposed to be one of the Bible teachers up here at Bob Jones University. Well, Custer Neal, he come out with a statement, and he said this. He said the Alexandrian text is the most accurate text. In other words, the new translations, the text they come from, is more accurate than the one that you got, the King James Bible. Okay? That's what he said. I got in the statement. And then Bob Jones Jr. come out with this statement and said, this school has always used the King James Bible, and we prefer and would like to be identified with it. Now, do you realize what I just said? Do you know what I just said to you? I mean, the idea of saying you want to be identified with something you don't believe.
Right.
You see that? Let me tell you something. There's something I don't believe. I don't want to be identified with it.
Amen.
I don't want to be identified with this crowd here.
Amen.
I bear the tag independent so I wouldn't be identified with none of this organized bunch today.
Amen.
And by the way, sometimes I'm almost ashamed of that, the way some of them act.
Amen.
You know? But, Samuel, I mean, Saul is still wanting to be identified with Samuel, even though he rejected the word of the God. See, and Samuel has followed God and tried to do what's right as far as God's concerned, see? So he said in verse 30, I sinned. Alright? He said, you honor me now. I mean, I know I've done wrong, but at least, you know, honor me, let me stay with me. Now, let it look like, you know, I'm still spiritual, you know. And like I said, maybe he did fear the people, because it said there he was afraid of the people. That's hard to understand, but it could be. Alright? Now, that's verse 31. Now, we're going to see some strange things here now. Verse 31. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. See? See, Samuel got burdened for him. In other words, he felt sorry for him. He says, okay, Saul, come on, you know, we'll go together. You know. See, Samuel had compassion. You see that? He felt sorry for him, you know. Oh, I didn't notice verse 32. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agar, the king of the Amalekites. And I like this. And Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and Agag came unto him galaxy. Huh? Here's my old king coming now, you know. I'm just singing now, you know. He walked up, you know, like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, you know. And I mean, that word actually means soft or careful, you know. And listen to what he said. He said, and Agar said, surely the bitterness of death is past. You know. I mean, we're not, man, we're not no need for us to fight now. We can get along, you know. I mean, we might as well. I mean, there's no reason to fight, you know. I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, we can all get along, amen, amen. No need to fight now, right, you know. Yeah. That's what they say.
Right.
I remember here, this last Easter, I preached on him, the Church of Christ preaching, Church of God preaching. The message preacher asked me, he said, would you like to come to our meeting next Wednesday morning? I said, I don't have time. He said, well, we'd love to have you come, Brother Sleep. I said, I don't have time. I'll be working. I said, if you want to come to the meeting, I'll meet every Thursday night. Amen?
Amen.
They ain't going to come, though. They ain't going to come. All right, verse 33. And Samuel said, as thou sword hath made women childless. Huh? You see? Let me show you something, folks. Let me show you a point here now. You notice that Samuel has no respect or nothing good to say about the enemy of God. Huh? And this is why the world don't understand Bible believers. You see? I mean, how can a man have compassion and preach like you do, and listen, I've heard it before, and I'll probably hear it some more, and call people queers, cut down people's religion, cut down other people's preachers, and say you're a Christian? That's not what we're talking about here, sir. But notice how firm Samuel stands and how compassionate he is and how fearless he is. You see that? And what did he do? Now here's a man that just in the previous chapter here was stood up all night crying over his friend, worrying about his friend, you know, standing for his friend. And then he comes a time, he says, when they bring this king in, he says, and Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, you kill women. Amen. Right? So, shall thy mother be childless among women? And Samuel hewed Agar in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. How about that? Took the sword, come one across the shoulder, one across the belly, one across the head, another one down here, he's laying all over the place. You call yourself a Christian. You cut people up, you call people everything, and you call yourself a Christian. See? Why did Samuel do that? You know why he done it? That's what God said do. Amen?
Amen. Right.
Sometimes when you do what God says, it ain't going to look good to the rest of the world.
Right.
Huh? Read verse 3. What did God tell him? Destroy every man. Agar was a man.
Amen.
See? And look, it didn't bother Samuel one bit. See? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I know today you ain't to go out here and take the sword and chop nobody's head. I know that today. Because we're not bringing the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. You see? We're in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But one day God will be worse than that when he comes back.
Right.
He ain't going to chop him. He's going to burn him up.
Amen.
Amen? But the Bible says, and Samuel hewed Hagar in pieces. What do you think he hewed him with? Huh? A sword, amen? You got a sword? Then cut him to pieces. All right? Verse 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house to Gilgal of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. I know Samuel mourned for Saul, and God changed, and he made Saul king over Israel, you see. Because Saul was the king that the people had chose, more or less. Amen? And that was a bad choice. Now, I'm going to discuss just about one verse here in chapter 6, and I'm going to quit tonight because we missed the first 15 minutes on this thing, didn't get on tape, so I ain't going to run another 45 minutes. That'd hold you too long, you may not come back. But I'm going to just say a couple of things about this next, because it's important. It goes right on what we're saying here, see? Right. Notice 16:1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, to Beth Shemlamite, for I provided me a king among his sons. Now, notice there, back over there in the previous chapter, when it grieved God, well, Samuel was grieved also. Remember that? But here is a place where Samuel and the Lord aren't thinking alike. You see? Samuel is grieving over God rejecting Saul as king. Now what God said to him in this first, in the first verse there was, he says, I've rejected him. Now as God said, if I reject him, what are you wanting for? You see that? Now you see the difference here, don't you? Here is Samuel that's grieving over Saul, and God said, I'm finished with him. Now you know what's involved there, don't you? That's the human element. For we all got it. Amen? See, Samuel and Saul were friends. And it was hard for Samuel just to walk off and that's the end of it. But that's what God did. See, God, that's the way God does things. You see? I mean, when God is through with somebody, and I think it happens in times, I think it happens that a lot of times God just finishes with a church, maybe. And I'll tell you some churches I think God finished with. You don't know? Any church that quit using the King James Bible as their final authority, I think God finished with them. And I believe any school or any preacher that quit using the King James Bible, God finished with them. Huh? Now, you like I said, when God finished with somebody, the Bible said he's light. This Bible gives light. And I believe you can tell when God finished somebody, the lights go out. See? I know one preacher in particular in Fort Myers. I know this one particular preacher. He's older than I am, but if you ever heard him preach one time, you would hear all he'll ever say. I'm not kidding. I've heard him preach years ago. I heard him preach 6 months ago. It's still the same. And I'll tell you how you can usually tell. The popular saying today is a few things. I don't see nothing wrong with it. That means, most of the time, it means you're talking to somebody God's finished with. You see? You know what? There's nothing wrong with it. God ain't showing nothing. See? And then they'll come up and say, well, I don't agree with you. Or they'll say, I don't interpret it that way. Huh? Or it don't mean that. Or they might say, well, what does the Greek say? You know? I'll tell you one I've heard them tell me a lot of times. You're the only one I ever heard say anything like that. I've heard that more than probably any of the rest of them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I look at that thing. I don't see anything wrong with reviewing, and Peter said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, and I think it's good for preachers to constantly remind you of certain things, the certain things you ought to be grounded in, certain things you ought to know, certain things you ought to know automatically and be grounded in. But I think a preacher, when he gets up Sunday morning, ought to feed the people from the Bible. Amen? If I were to go to your house, or let's say every day you eat, you get up and all eat hot dogs. You eat hot dogs for breakfast, and hot dogs for dinner, and hot dogs for supper. After a few days, you'd just about get tired of them hot dogs, wouldn't you? Now, folks, people in the church, same way. You start just putting out the same thing every time you get behind a pulpit. You ain't doing nothing to them people. You're making them sick. See? And that's why a lot of preachers do that, because, you see, God ain't giving them no messages.
Right.
You see that? And I tell you what, that when they quit believing what God says, God just quit giving them something, amen?
Yeah.
So it'll be the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Amen?
Yeah.
And I realize that, you know, if the Lord don't come back, one day my mind may get so old and shrinkled and it ain't too great now, but someday it may not even work at all. Amen? So what I've done, I've got me a whole stack of messages that high already fixed up. And if one day the Lord don't come back in 20 years from now and I'm still here, I'm still preach without studying. Because God give me something and I put it down. Amen? I don't trust this thing. It comes and goes. It ain't that good, you know.
Amen.
So when God gives us something, I put it down.
Right.
Amen? But anyway, here's what I'm trying to show you. The point is here, if God's not interested in something, why should you be?
Amen.
If God's finished with it, it don't matter what you think about it, it's nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, you can pray about anything, you know. I mean, if you see something, you can pray about it. But you can't get involved in something that God is finished with.
Yeah.
I mean, why? It's not going to amount to nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, people, they don't, just like this church, I'm going to plug in just a minute, I'm going to quit. But like this church up here, you know, in Fort Sharp, they need a preacher, so I threw my name in the pot, you know. And they ain't called me. They ain't going to. I'd be surprised if they was to. They ain't gonna call me because they don't want a Bible reading preacher. They want a school principal. See? I mean, they want a school principal, see? And I'll tell you something else. If that's all they want to get involved in the school, they wouldn't want me no way. See? I ain't so much on these Christian schools. Now, let me tell you something. Now, if you want to go to a Christian school, we have one here every Sunday morning.
Amen.
And we'll have one Sunday night. And we'll have one Thursday night.
Amen.
Huh? I mean, math and history and English and social studies and sports is not what makes a Christian school.
Amen.
That makes a Christian school.
Amen.
And when that ain't first, it ain't no Christian in it.
Amen?
Amen? And boy, you think some of the brethren wouldn't flip their top if they heard me say that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell them I said, I don't care.
Amen.
You know, people don't know what Christians are anymore. I went there, "You don't act like a Christian." I said, "Well, how do you know how one's supposed to act? Have you ever seen one?" I mean, joining the church and getting baptized don't make you a Christian, folks. That makes Christians. And that's all that makes them. And if this ain't around, there ain't none. All right, so Samuel and God disagreed on that thing. All right, we're going to stop that tonight. That's far enough. That's down to verse 2 of chapter 16. We'll get that next chapter. Now, we've got some, in the next few weeks, we got some great things coming up, how God chooses David to be king. And then, if you'll notice in chapter 17, how many have read chapter 17? Huh? That's a great chapter. That's where David meets Goliath. And that's interesting. I preached on that and taught on that numbers of times. I always enjoy going through it. I always like to see God do something, you know. And when God takes a little scrapling bow and brings down something like Goliath with it, that's interesting to me. And that's where, now we won't get there probably next Thursday, but 2 weeks from tonight we'll probably be studying that, okay? So, you be with us as much as you can on Thursday night.